You're listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century, the podcast from Unity San Francisco that explores modern spiritual teachings and provides insight into how to apply them in your life. This is Reverend Ken Daigle. Today's talk was recorded live at Unity San Francisco. Enjoy.
So Ken asked me to speak. He gave me like 2 weeks' notice. He says, hey, I'm going to be leaving. Can you speak? I was like, sure. No pressure. Hamilton, just saying. I'm not like busy or anything. So, let's just breathe for a second. She said, I am already enough. Everything I need is within me. All I need is in me. Thank you, Mawazi. That was beautiful. So let's talk about this quote. Let's talk about the sacred power of no. So this is by Rumi. And when I first encountered this quote by Rumi, I had to read it twice. Because he doesn't say respond to every call. He doesn't say respond to every opportunity. He doesn't even say respond to every need. He says respond to every call that excites your spirit. And somewhere along the way, I think many of us stopped hearing that distinction. We began believing that love always says yes. Kindness always says yes. Service always says yes. Good people say yes. Spiritual people say yes. So we say yes. Yes to one more committee. Yes to another volunteer opportunity. Yes to another project. Yes to another favor. Yes to another board. Yes to one more responsibility. And before long, our calendars are overflowing. Our souls are exhausted. And we're wondering why a life built on generosity suddenly feels so heavy. So today, I'd like to suggest something that we might think is a little radical, but I want you to stay with me, okay? Sometimes the most spiritual word you can say is no. Okay? Let that sit. Bugs Bunny was one of my best teachers. He taught me how to correctly pronounce fatigued. So when in doubt, always go back to Bugs Bunny. No. Let me tell you where this comes from. As many of you know, and those of you who don't know, I was raised in the Church of God in Christ, which is a Bible-thumping, hip-shaking, dancing around the room, jumping at the ceilings community. And as you know, we can turn a word into a sermon. If you've ever experienced a Kojic service, you've probably heard, yes, 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 yes. Or my favorite that my grandmother used to sing, yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord, completely yes, my soul says yes, every Sunday, yes. We sang it with everything we had. This is not me, but it might as well have been me, because that baby has got her whole heart in whatever she is singing, does she not? And children have a tendency to take messages very seriously. So I embodied that yes, Lord, because I figured God really liked people who said yes. There's so many songs about saying yes. So somewhere in my little developing mind, I translated that into say yes to helping, say yes to serving, say yes when people ask, say yes when the church needs volunteers, say yes when someone needs a favor. Say yes, because that's what good people do. Yeah, I took that a little too literally, I think. A little too literally. Because somewhere along the way, my soul says yes became I say yes to everybody. And those are two very different things. Today, I hear it differently. When we sang, my soul says yes. I don't believe that the expectation of divine consciousness, divine order, and divine wisdom was expecting me to become endlessly available to every request, every ask that I ever was asked. I was being asked to become deeply available to the one power and the one presence, to truth, to the divine presence within me. Because saying yes to everyone is not the same as saying yes to your soul. Right? Sometimes our soul says yes, but sometimes our soul lovingly says, not today. Maybe next time. That's not mine. Wait. Rest. Stop. No. That's what our soul says to us. Authentic spirituality isn't about saying yes to everything. It's about saying yes to what we are being called to say yes to. Charles Fillmore reminded us that man has freedom of choice. It is his divine birthright. And I love that. Did y'all catch that? We took pictures. All right. I love that because freedom of choice isn't something we earn. It isn't something someone else grants us. It's part of our divine inheritance. And New Thought teaches that we are individualized expressions of infinite mind. Now think about that. Individualized expressions of infinite mind. Infinite intelligence expressing uniquely through and as you. So that means your ability to choose isn't merely a personality trait. It is sacred, holy. Every conscious decision becomes an act of spiritual creation. But every unconscious decision slowly gives our creative power away. It's a missed opportunity. Authentic agency is remembering that each of us has been imbued with something remarkable. Choice. Not reaction, not obligation. Choice. Now, hold on. Every choice does come with a cost. Every yes costs something. It costs time, energy, attention, presence, creativity, peace. The question isn't whether your yes has a cost. The question is what you're receiving worth what you're spending? We'll say that again. Is what you're receiving worth what you're spending in energy, time, peace, creativity? So we're going to imagine our lives as a beautiful garden. And let's imagine every commitment is a seed. Some blossom and flower into roses. Some might become fruit trees. Some become towering oaks that provide shade for generations. And some become weeds. Not because they're bad, but because they were planted where they didn't belong. The problem isn't the planting. The problem is planting everything. Because eventually, nothing can flourish. There's no room. Okay. For those in spiritually feminine, they already know this, but for those of you who don't know, this talk isn't for you. It's for me. Did you notice I started with Ken saying, hey, you want to do the talk in 2 weeks? And I said, sure. Of course, I'm not doing anything. It's me. It me, as they say, as the kids say, it me. Because this is a habit I'm continually trying to transform. Whenever someone asks me to do something, especially if it's for a cause that I'm passionate about or someone I love or a community that I believe in, my first instinct is, yes, count me in. Yup. I will make it work. And they never seem overwhelming when they arrive, you know, because Ken asked me 2 weeks ago if I would talk today. But then like 6 weeks ago, somebody else asked me to do something else. And then last week, somebody asked me to do something. And before I knew it, my calendar was crazy. It's those simple requests. Would you help with this? Could you lead that? Would you mind speaking? Could you just... Because individually, they all seem small, totally manageable. So yeah, I say yes. The problem isn't one request. The problem is that life doesn't schedule itself one request at a time. And it seems like for me, Life has a funny way of cashing all those little promises in on the same week or the same weekend. For example, I am leading the Spiritually Feminine Women's Retreat next weekend. A friend of mine called me, 6 months ago and asked me if I would please do his show at Sweetwater for his album on Wednesday night. No, next week. Yeah. And my husband and I are like, oh, we should go on a trip. Yeah, let's go. Where are we going to go? Oh, let's go to Scottsdale, Arizona. Okay. So guess what? Wednesday night, I have a show at Sweetwater. Thursday, I'm flying to Phoenix. Friday, I'm flying back. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm doing the retreat. And then on Sunday after the retreat, I get to go to Scottsdale, Arizona. What the hell did I do? Because when I say yes, everything converges. Everything. And I find myself looking at my calendar like, girl, you need an assistant. I'm waiting on ChatGPT to get that, to get to the point where they can say, girl, No, just say no, girl. Just say no. Shall I just decline this one so I don't have to do it? Because I probably won't. So I wasn't lying when I said yes. I genuinely meant it. I meant, yes, absolutely, I can do that show. Yes, let's absolutely go to Phoenix, Arizona. Oh, my God, Scottsdale, are you kidding? Yes, Ken, of course, I'd love to speak. But I was making each decision in isolation. I wasn't considering the whole of my life. I wasn't considering that in my day job, I am in the middle of a major development project that I have to get done by the end of this month while still doing all of this other stuff on top of it. I wasn't asking the deeper spiritual question, does this yes belong in the life I am being called to create? Because here's what I've learned. Every time I say yes, I'm making an appointment, not just with another person, I'm making an appointment with my future self. And my future self deserves to inherit a life that reflects intention. Not accumulation, not obligation. Your future self deserves to inherit a life that reflects intention. That realization kind of changes things for me. Because saying no isn't rejecting people. It's protecting the life I've been blessed to experience and called to create. Khalil Gibran, who writes in The Prophet, he said, there are those who give with joy and that joy is their reward. Notice what he praised. He didn't praise exhausted giving. He didn't praise obligatory giving. He didn't praise giving until there's nothing left. He praised joyful giving. Giving that springs from abundance. Giving that flows naturally because it is aligned with spirit. And I think many of us have confused sacrifice with depletion or exhaustion. We believe that if we're tired enough, busy enough, stretched enough, that somehow we're more spiritual. But exhaustion has never been a fruit of the spirit. Joy is. Peace is. Love is. And when our giving consistently leaves us angry and resentful, disconnected or depleted, perhaps we aren't being called to give more. Perhaps we're being invited to give differently. Eckhart Tolle says, where there is anger, there's always pain underneath. I'd like to add another thought. Sometimes, where there is resentment, there is an abandoned self underneath. When you're resentful, you abandon yourself. Have you ever found yourself thinking, why am I the one who always has to do this? Why does everyone always ask me? Okay, if I don't do this, nobody else will. And that might be true sometimes. But often, resentment isn't about the other person. It's about the conversation you never had with yourself. Yes? Right? Resentment isn't really about the other person. It's about the conversation you never had with yourself. It's the emotional invoice that arrives after we spent energy we did not have to give. Resentment. It is our soul whispering, you abandoned us again. Not to shame, but to awaken. You know, Jesus, Now, in New Thought, we believe that Jesus is the great example, not the great exception, right? Even his teachings, he says, this too and more shall you do, right? So we are all divine expressions as Jesus was a divine expression. And you know what? Jesus didn't even heal everybody. He didn't remain with every crowd. Instead, he withdrew repeatedly. Luke tells us, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. After teaching, he withdrew. After miracles, he withdrew. Before making important decisions, he withdrew. He climbed mountains. He crossed lakes. He disappeared into solitude. And even when people came looking for him, he left. Why? Because he understood something we often forget. Withdrawal is not abandonment. Withdrawal is alignment. Now notice this word, often. Not once, not occasionally, often. Now, if Jesus needed space to reconnect with divine wisdom, perhaps we do too. I wonder, how many of us are living lives we never consciously chose simply because we never interrupted the momentum? How many committees? How many responsibilities? How many expectations? How many identities? Not because we intentionally embrace them, but because we never pause long enough to ask, is this really mine? Silence is not consent, despite what society might think. Silence may mean I'm still discerning. I need more information. I don't have the capacity. I'm afraid to disappoint you. Or simply, no. Authentic agency teaches us that our lives deserve conscious participation, not passive acceptance. And Rumi asks a beautiful question. I love Rumi. Why are you so enchanted by this world when a mine of gold lives within you? That gold is divine wisdom, divine love, divine joy, divine peace, divine divinity. New Thought teaches that God isn't hanging out in the clouds. God is expressing as us. The same divine consciousness that spins galaxies and unfolds flowers is available in every moment of our lives. But we cannot hear that still, small voice if the noise of everyone else's expectations is always louder. The answer we seek is often quieter than the question. So before saying yes, pause. Before rescuing, pause. Before volunteering, pause. Before answering, pause. How many people do that text message email thing where you, and then you read it, and you delete? Right? That's you doing a self-inventory because you needed to get that out. But it might not be what you want to send. That's a pause. What if we did that in other areas of our lives? Right? That self-check, that self-inventory. Eckhart Tolle reminds us that awareness is the greatest agent for change. In rehearsal the other night, somebody said the only constant in life is change. Actually, was that you, Dave? The only constant in life is change. And you have to be aware of where change is needed and where it is not. But awareness begins with the pause. Fillmore described prayer as communion with the divine mind. The communion doesn't always happen in a sanctuary. Sometimes it happens in the 10 seconds before you answered that text message or sent that email, before you clicked reply all. And sometimes it happens before saying, sure, I'd love to. Or maybe not. The pause creates space for spirit to speak. Instead of reacting automatically, we begin responding consciously. And what if every important decision was preceded by this question? What is mine to do? Can you join this committee? Is this mine to do? Can you run me to the store? Is this mine to do? Can you water my plants? No. I have a black thumb. You don't want me watering your plants. But imagine how different our lives might become. Myrtle Fillmore has a quote that says, "I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm and spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that ought to be done by me." Ought to be done by me. Four words that change everything. She doesn't say everything that ought to be done by me. She says the things that ought to be done by me. And there's tremendous freedom in realizing that not every good thing is your thing. Not every opportunity is your assignment. Not every need is your responsibility. Sometimes saying no isn't withholding. It's making room for someone else's calling. Because every time you say yes, you're denying someone else the opportunity to say yes. You're denying someone else the opportunity to grow. My daughter, my youngest daughter, she called me and she's like, "Umi," she calls me Umi, "Umi, can you help me with this presentation?" And I said, "Of course, baby." And I totally forgot. It was a presentation, you know, these kids today. It was a presentation for a bachelorette party. They were doing a PowerPoint at a bachelorette. Go figure. And it was supposed to be pictures and all kinds of things about her and the bride. And I said, "Oh, yeah," because she showed me what she had. And I was like, "Ooh, girl, I can take care of this. Yes, absolutely." No. That ball broke. And my yes stopped her because she fully expected me to do it. And when I didn't show up, she had to do what she needed to do in a scramble, which means it wasn't her best effort. If I had said no when she first asked me, who's to say? She might have done research. She might have asked someone else. She might have developed the skill so that the presentation itself was better. Maybe what I should have done is given her, and I hate to should, but I should have given her feedback and said, "You know what? It's really close. Why don't you try XYZ?" But no, I said yes. Sometimes those invitations should allow other people to step in. And you do that by setting that boundary. And I know people think boundaries are about keeping people out, but healthy boundaries are about letting truth in. Emma Curtis taught that the truth shall make you free. And sometimes the truth is real simple. I can't. No, not this time. I am not the right person. I don't have the bandwidth. Or no, they're not failures of compassion. They're expressions of spiritual honesty. Because when we stop overcommitting, our presence becomes wholehearted. Our generosity becomes joyful because people deserve the real us, not the exhausted, overwrought, overworked, overwhelmed and underwater. That's my new phrase. Overwhelmed and underwater versions of us. Howard Thurman. Now, if you've been here before, you've heard Ken talk about this. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do that. Because that's what the world needs. People who have come alive. Not more exhausted people doing one more thing. The world needs people who are fully alive, whose eyes sparkle, who serve because it's in their heart to do so because they want to. Their yes is wholehearted. And every unnecessary yes slowly extinguishes that aliveness. Every authentic no protects it. Because your light is too precious to be dimmed by obligations that were never yours in the first place. Let's visualize this. If you feel comfortable, you can close your eyes. I want you to imagine you're preparing for a long journey. You're walking. If you want to go Forrest Gump, go ahead. At the beginning of that trail, someone hands you a small stone. It's light. You hardly notice it. Then another person gives you another, and another, and another. And each one seems insignificant. What's one little stone gonna hurt? Until eventually you're carrying 50, 60, And that backpack isn't heavy because of one stone. It's heavy because you never stopped to ask whether each stone belonged to you and were yours to carry. You may open your eyes now. I know for me, that's how my life worked, but isn't that how life sometimes works? Every commitment, every obligation, every expectation, every yes, by itself is small and manageable. But together, crushing. Because we were not meant to carry every stone, only the ones that belong to us. The spiritual journey isn't about becoming stronger so we can carry more. It's about becoming wiser so we know what to lay down. This week, I'd like to invite you into a spiritual experiment. Normally, I'll give you like three or four things to do. One, it's not a dramatic thing. Just 1 week of practicing authentic agency. I want you to notice every automatic yes. Notice every place where you remain silent simply because it's easier than speaking your truth. Every time guilt tries to make a decision that love should make. And before you're responding to anything, take a breath and pause. Can we do that? In the pause, ask yourself, is this mine to do? Not what will make everyone happy, not what will keep the peace, not what people won't like me, but is this mine to do? Because that question doesn't raise fear. It comes from a place of love, love for yourself. Love always includes you. Did you know that? Love includes you, your love for yourself. You have to love yourself before you can love anyone. And while the goal is to become people who say yes, it's to say yes to something that means something, not to everything. A wholehearted yes, a joyful yes, a fully present yes. Matthew 5 and 37, when Jesus said these words on the mount, he said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I think that's what he meant. Authentic yes, wholehearted yes. And your no, sacred. Because integrity creates peace. When our words match our inner truth, we experience true wholeness. Ernest Holmes, life is a mirror and will reflect back to the thinker what he thinks into it. If you don't think you're worthy, you're not. If you say, I can't do that, you're right. I've thought about this a lot, not just this week, but over the last several months, year or so. And if I secretly believe that my worth depends on always being available, life will keep giving me opportunities to prove it. Because what you appreciate, appreciates. If you say, I am only worthy by the things that I can do, the universe will show up to give you things to do. But if you know that you are already enough, wholly beautiful, and perfect in your very imperfect way, and you stand in that, the universe will prove that too. So what happens when you truly accept that freedom of choice is your divine birthright? What happens when you remember that you are a unique and divine and beautiful expression of the divine? Not as a copy of someone else, but as the only me that has ever existed. Life will begin to mirror that consciousness back to you. Not because God changed, but because we did. Hafiz writes, the small man builds cages for everyone he knows, while the sage keeps dropping keys all night long for the beautiful rowdy prisoners. Let's drop keys, y'all. I don't want to build cages because I don't want to be in a cage. And saying yes to everything is absolutely a cage. not realizing my worth is a cage. And this poem paints such a beautiful image because I think many of us have unknowingly built ourselves into cages. A cage made of obligation, guilt, expectations, built one perfectly reasonable yes at a time. And I want to be sure, I want you to know that what I'm inviting you to do, that pause, it's not another responsibility. It's a key. The key isn't learning to disappoint people. It's remembering that your soul has a voice. Words have power, right? You have to trust the voice enough to honor it. Because every time you offer a truthful no, you make room for a wholehearted, spirit-led, joy-filled yes. So go into this week trusting that the divine wisdom within you knows, and choose courage, serve with joy, rest without guilt, and let your soul, not your fear, not your habits, not your obligations, but let your soul be the voice that says yes. And here's a little benediction for you before I wrap up. May your yes become more intentional. May your no become more peaceful. May your calendar reflect your calling. May your boundaries become bridges to authenticity. May your life be filled not with more obligations, see, I had to write this down, but with more aliveness. And may you always remember, agency is not the freedom to do everything. Authentic agency is the spiritual maturity to choose intentionally.
Thanks for listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century. I'm Reverend Ken Daigle. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Unity San Francisco and learn more about us at unitysf.com. Spiritual Living for the 21st Century is a production of Unity San Francisco.